The Bushfire, Part 3, page 149 to 151. Harry was stunned. For a time, he barely realised that he was alive. Then, little by little, he began to understand that his safety belt had held, that Lorna's father secured the seat scarcely less awkwardly than he, had changed position, but had not been dislodged, and that Wallace and Gramps Fairhall still sat in the front, almost as if they had gone to sleep. Though the fire still roared, there seemed to be an odd silence. The engine of the car had stopped, and the heat was almost unimaginable. What was outside, Harry didn't know. All the glass in the car, except one side panel, had cracked, perhaps from the impact, perhaps from the heat. The windscreen was quite opaque, a crazed mass, and the door handles were almost too hot to touch. But Harry had to have air. It didn't matter what sort of air. He had to have it. He snatched at the handle and kicked the door open. He stumbled to the road into an extraordinary world of blacks and greys and tongues of fire. It was like a black and white photograph of enormous proportions, in the midst of which candles burned mysteriously. It was a creaking and crackling and rending world superimposed upon a thunderous background roar. It was a world of wraiths and ghosts and changing shape, of fantastic forms fashioned from smoke. It was a world of acrid odours, of strange smells and sensations, terrifyingly unreal, but a world becoming cooler, for the monster has swept over it and gone bellowing into the depths of the forest. It had left behind it 100,000 tiny fires in the boughs and branches of seared trees, and in the undergrowth, thousands of tiny fires that flaked off from the heights and fell through masses of foliage, stiff and pale and dehydrated, millions of sparks that scattered on the wind, and legions of tiny dead creatures. Snakes and lizard and feathered creatures and furred creatures were strewn the length of the road or lay buried in the forest ashes. Harry saw this grotesque world but scarcely comprehended it, for he saw it through a mist. It was a mist of salty tears that welled from his smarting eyes, a mist of coughing and confusion and nausea. He was sick where he stood. He was sick until each contraction of his muscles was like the turn of a knife. Then he stood blankly, unseeing, swaying, swallowing air and smoke and vapours in great gulps, groaning and shuddering in his bones, and suddenly, with startling clarity, questioning whether he alone had survived.